In the name of God, our Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This portion from the Exodus story. The people were in the desert, and they were thirsty. "We will die of thirst here," they said. Yahweh told Moses to strike the rock in the middle of the desert. He did so, and water came out for all the people to drink. Moses, however, named the place Massah and Meribah because of the Israelites' contentiousness and all their complaining, and because they put God to the test by saying, "Is God with us or not?" There are different kinds of droughts. There's the one happening in California now. There are economic droughts. And there are spiritual droughts, which may be the most dangerous because people often don't know how bad it is. Jesus was thirsty. He stops for a drink at the well, and instantly violates at least three laws. He's talking to a woman, a Samaritan, and by sharing from her own cup, he is contaminating himself with ritual impurities and God knows what. Right? You know what those Samaritans are like? Yeah. Creepy, isn't it? And they begin to talk about the inner life, the wellspring of life and where it actually comes from. And John, the gospel writer, loves this teaching technique to contrast life on the surface, superficial conversations, and then hidden, inner, deeper meanings. Elsewhere in John's gospel, Jesus says, "Tear down this temple, and I'll raise it up in 3 days." And the disciples and others thought, he's talking about the temple, and he was talking about his own body. Last week we heard Nicodemus said, "I have to be birthed again inside my mother's womb?" No, inner rebirth, friend, inner rebirth. And today we hear about living water. "Hey, spare me from ever having to go to this well again." He says, no, this is about life in the Spirit, to worship, to live in spirit and truth, in the freedom of God's endless creativity. That's where you need to be. Taste those waters, friends, and you will never be thirsty again. In the Romans passage, we hear these incredible texts today, which say, while we were yet helpless, like Elaine, while we were yet helpless, Christ died for the godless. While we were enemies of God, Christ gave his life to reconcile all of us. God is the power of love to heal and transform what is dead into new life. And love is not some sort of abstract concept which can sit over there on the shelf. Love is absolutely dynamic. It's either happening or it's not, right? You know when somebody loves you or not. It's very clear. And God is loving. That energy of love to heal and transform those who are dead, those who think they're dead, those who wish they were dead, into new life. But the text is, while we were helpless, that's not talking about us, is it? While we were godless, while we are enemies of God, is that talking about us? Yes! Every time we diminish the dignity or humanity of another human being, every time we violate the communion of life for which we were created by excluding anyone or any group of people, we are God's enemies. Enemies of life. And it is Jesus who breaks through every conceivable barrier to be with the godless. It doesn't matter if you're a woman. It's okay for Jesus. It may not be okay on the planet, but it's okay for God. Or if you're a Samaritan, or immoral, or an outsider, or disgusting, or you've got the wrong religion. Christ comes for the godless, to gather us together into new life, to bring together the dispossessed, the lost, the forsaken, the disposable, to make us whole, whole persons, whole relationships, whole community, whole universe. It's why all the ministries of this congregation are constantly working to bring wholeness in every aspect of our lives. Because it's only until we know ourselves to be whole and called to wholeness that we have a future. Right? What are we to say to Miss Elaine today? You're a great kid, but you just got born at the wrong time. Right? I mean, look at the economy and where things are going and the whole world, and it's just, you know, we're sorry. Amen? No man, right? We've got to give her hope. That's why we're alive. And Christ is giving us a future. Christ creates unity and community by the giving of his life. And it is the cross, this self-giving love into which Elaine has been baptized, into his death and resurrecting love, that creates hope and new community. The hope is not based upon whether all of us will come together and agree about the way life should be. That is hopeless. That's not how the Christian community comes together. It's based on the cross, that self-giving love, which says your well-being is as important as mine. And I will live for that, and I will live into that, and I will fail you constantly, but I'm still going to live towards that. That love is so deep and transformative, it empowers us not only to embrace others and people who might be different from us, it even empowers our love of enemies, which is what the world needs, in case you haven't noticed. Archbishop Romero, the anniversary of his assassination date is tomorrow, 1980. He was murdered for speaking out to defend the Salvadoran people. While he was celebrating the Eucharist at the elevation of the chalice, he was shot by an assassin. Archbishop Romero said, I don't believe in death without resurrection. If they kill me, and they did, if they kill me, I will rise up in the Salvadoran people. That's our faith to live to and through and beyond death. Even death is not the final barrier. The community which God is giving life for is through this life and death and into the beyond. It is for now. And that's why we are happy to celebrate Elaine's baptism today. Into that death and that resurrecting love that she might become whole. One thing that will be an entire waste of her lifetime is if she should pursue that dream of becoming independently an individual who's realized total self-fulfillment. I know that's the dream of our society, but it is a grand delusion. Nobody, friends, nobody experiences fulfillment this side of the grave. It doesn't happen. But when we're so dedicated to only that, it leads us to miss and exclude one another. No, she's been baptized to bring her into the fullness of that communion of love, that divine connection which will give her a real life. Christ has given his life for us. Christ didn't come to start up a new religion. He came to give us a new humanity and a new humanism, and Elaine today is part of that. For Jesus is a whole maker. A whole maker who gathers the unloved and the unrelated, who confronts systems which diminish and marginalize people, the whole maker who challenges all of us, not with arguments and attacks and authority, but challenges us from the deep, deep center of love where Elaine comes from, to be real. On the cross, Jesus said, "I thirst that you become real, live sons and daughters of God." Amen. The peace which surpasses all human understanding. Keep your hearts and your minds in Christ.